माँ विष्णु शावरी ओम शांति शांति शांति। इन द भागवतम अगेन देयर इज द स्टोरी ऑफ ए डिवोटी, देयर आर क्वाइट नंबर ऑफ देम. But one that illustrates the true nature of a devotee, what it is to be constantly facing the light, not only to turn towards the inner light you call God, but to remain conscious, aware of it all the time. It's usually easy to remain aware of God with a little bit of practice and grace in times of trouble. But throughout, whatever happens, is it possible to remain continually turned towards God? In which case, whatever trouble this personality may be subjected to, is not experienced as trouble. I think there is a slight conundrum there. When they tell us that the devotees are subjected to all sorts of trials and tribulations, and he bears all, there are no bears or tigers involved here. To him it is not trouble. From the point of view of the observers, it looks as though he is subjected to lots and lots of difficulties. But if he is facing the light, he wouldn't feel any problem. If he is conscious that his life is being guided by God, there is no problem at all. The story concerns a schoolmate of Krishna, officially called Sudama, but nicknamed Kuchela. Kuchela means one who has never worn a decent dress, couldn't afford. He had a wife, her name is not mentioned, I think, but she was also nicknamed Chupchama, meaning one who was accustomed to hunger. The third factor is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but in some other legend, that they had 27 children. This girl, what's her name? Saint Catherine of Siena. She was 21st of 23, 24 children, 25 children or something like that in Italy. So, it's not, that doesn't seem to have been unusual once upon a time. But that is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. This is some kind of a gossip. In any case, they were so poor they had nothing to eat. They must have had one or two children at least. And the children were starving, they were starving. And this man lived on alms. He was a Brahmin, he was a devotee of Krishna. Incidentally, I might mention here, even as late as about 50 years ago, begging for a Brahmin was not considered undignified. I still remember one Brahmin, a widower who had no children, who lived in our village, and he was poor, he had no property, whereas all the other Brahmins had enormous property. He didn't have any. He had no property, no wife, no children, widower. And he was living alone, a life which you cannot even dream of, imagine, in your wildest fantasy. He lived unarmed and he had only two sets of clothes, outfit. One which he wore and the other which was up on the raft drying. That's all. It had no third change. And he used coarse mat to sleep on, and that's all. This, the minimum necessary for cooking the simplest meal that you can imagine. And half a dozen pieces of firewood in a corner, which he himself gathered in spare time. Finished. That's the house. No lamp, nothing. Because sundown he goes down also. He goes into prayer or something and then sleeps. And this man used to go to the river, take bath in the morning, offer his prayers and so on, and then hold a brass pot on his hand near the shoulder and walk right in the middle of the street, flanked by our houses. Wouldn't look here or there. He was chanting some hymns as he walked on with this pot in his hand. Never looked at anybody, never bothered to stand in front of any house. And I know, at least my grandmother, when she heard the sound of this man's voice, used to pick up something and run to put some food into that, uncooked food into that, foodstuff into that pot. It was considered the greatest blessing. And this is the punchline. I have never seen among contemporary Brahmins who are fabulously wealthy a more blissful face than his. His face radiated such joy, such supreme joy, which is totally absent from the faces of those mighty big Brahmins who were very wealthy. So he was not considered a beggar, but he was considered a great devotee to offer something to whom was a great blessing. And he would not accept anything more than what was absolutely necessary. If his clothes are completely worn out, you could offer him something, a pair of dhotis. That's all. Nothing that was not absolutely necessary found entry into that house. And you can imagine there was no lock, no key, nothing. Nobody could take anything away from that house. This Kuchela was of that temperament. But unfortunately, unlike my friend, this Kuchela had a wife and children. It so happens that a wife might be willing to starve, but might be upset when the children are subjected to starvation. And whenever the children cried for food, the father would entertain them with stories of Krishna, because Krishna was his classmate when they were both young, very young, and when they were both students of a sage called Sandipani. And this old man would entertain the wife and children with these stories till they were lulled to sleep. One day this wife became a little upset. Maybe something like this. So, she was asking for money or food, and this old man started his stories of Krishna. Oh, you know, when I was at school, long before I married you, I had a great friend, Krishna. He is the Lord of the universe. He is the King of Dwaraka. And she barked back at him. All the time talking about the great Krishna who is King. Why don't you go and get something from him? Get some help from him. At first, he couldn't stomach this idea. Why? To go to a divine being and ask for 50 cents, it's a disgrace. You go to these great beings to get enlightenment, moksha, liberation, salvation, not just 50 cents. Anyhow, first of all, he must have thought it's unwise to quarrel with a wife. She wouldn't let you sleep. And on second thoughts, he felt that she was his guru. What does a guru do? The guru directs your attention to God and inspires you, goads you to go towards God. And that's precisely what this woman is doing. Now, arose the next problem. And the next problem was that according to the Oriental etiquette, you do not go empty-handed to see a few people. Viktahastam napashyeta. Don't go empty-handed when you want to see a raja, a king, a child, a guru, or a doctor. In those days, the doctors didn't send bills, accounts. You took something in your hand, offered it to him, and then he treated you. In the same way, a guru or a king, always you approach them with some offering in hands. And you might have seen when you go to visit a family and there are little children, they usually expect you to bring something along, a little bar of chocolate, something. Probably this tradition, the kind of tradition is gone now, and so the children also have got trained. In those days, this used to be almost a must. If you went to visit someone's family and there were a couple of children, they would say, "Oh, auntie, what have you brought for us? Auntie, what have you brought for us?" And it's disgraceful to say, "I've brought nothing." So keep some sweets in your pocket and give them. Now, Kuchela's problem was, I am going to see Krishna, the king. I must take something as an offering. When this suggestion was made, the wife became really mad. She said, "I have nothing, and I am asking you to go and get something from him. And now you are coming back to me saying, what will you give me to take to him?" It is said that she went next door and borrowed a handful of some funny substance. It is called beaten rice. Somewhere it's considered a delicacy, but it's the cheapest thing available. It's almost like popcorn. Let's put it in your idiom. It's just like popcorn, a handful of popcorn. How much is it? And this poor man didn't even have a proper cloth to tie it. There's no napkins and handkerchiefs. So he had a piece of cloth on which just one small bit was untorn. So he put it there and tied it up. Went to Krishna. At the entrance to the palace stood two gods, radiant. They were menial servants of Krishna, palace guards. But in appearance and in dress and so on, they were a million times better than this chap. He went and humbly announced to them, "Please, can you, I want to see Krishna." "You want to see Krishna?" Doesn't look like it. And he insisted, "Yes, I went to school with him and I would like to see him." And they also thought that this Krishna was a funny creature who all liked this sort of people. Dropouts and hippies and this sort of thing. Okay, he said, I'll let him know. And as the bodyguard, the palace guard, turned towards the palace, he found Krishna running down the steps to greet him, to greet this skeleton. And they stood in sheer wonderment and amazement, looking at this extraordinary sight of Lord Krishna embracing a skeleton, which hardly had a little bit of skin covering it, very fondly embracing him, and literally carrying him indoors. Good. As they were nearing the throne room, the court, Krishna said, this dress doesn't look very nice here. You spoil the furniture. And so gave him some nice silken robes. And he put on these silken robes. And walked hand in hand with Krishna. Went up to to Krishna's own private apartments. There Krishna seated him on a fantastic velvet sofa. And this fellow was spellbound. He was enjoying all this, as if in a dream. And then suddenly Krishna said, oh, you know etiquette, and you would not have come empty-handed to see me. You are a Brahmin of great learning. You know our culture, our etiquette. What have you brought? And this man is ashamed even to look at that. You want to tell him that he has got something. But Krishna himself snatched it from him. There is something there. Come on, out. Opened it and started eating. Oh, this is what I like most. And it is said that he put two handfuls into his mouth. And when he was about to put in the third handful in, Krishna's wife Rukmini stopped him. She said, enough. The story is that with each handful, countless blessings were being conferred upon the family and himself. And then they sat there, talked about good old days when we were both students at the Guru's place. You remember what we did, and you remember what happened then, what happened some other. As they were thus talking, the whole night was passed. At dawn, Krishna suggested, I suppose you have to go home now. The family will be waiting for you. Come. Picked him up and took him to the palace gates. He suddenly realized, hey, you are wearing these silken robes. If you wear these and go out of this palace, your appearance doesn't match with the dress, and my own soldiers might harass you and think that you have stolen all this. You better leave these here and put on your own clothes. This man was in bliss. He didn't bother about silk robes or tattered clothes. So he dutifully took all these silken robes on, deposited them there, put on his own old clothes, and took leave of Krishna. Walked away. Swami Shivananda used to caution us whenever we went to Rishikesh as visitors.